Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Father, I just ask for you to anoint this moment. Let the words that come out of Abby representing them this morning, God, just be that, like we say, the tongue that's like the pen of the ready writer, God, ready to write on our hearts whatever you would want to speak. Father, we just pray that every boldness she has would come forward, that every gift that she has would come out in the name of Jesus this morning. God, we pray for her family that stands here, God, that you would sustain them, that you would continue to grant favor and miracles. Another one is on the way, God. We just receive it in Jesus' name. Bless this family. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. You want to say anything, Matt, before you sit down?
I'm good. You're good.
Okay. Abby, take it away. Yeah, and have a great time.
Check and make sure my pockets are pushed in, because the first week that we were in St. Louis, Matt was speaking up at Expansion, and he talked the entire time with his pockets, like, hanging out. So now I'm paranoid. I'm excited to be here for lots of reasons. One of them, I mean, praise and worship was amazing. Thank you. There you are. Thank you. It's amazing to have praise and worship in English. Like, I'm fluent in German, but it's my heart language, right? And so it's just amazing, and that was really great. And actually, one of our Ukrainian friends, I know a name, she was deathly ill with COVID a few years ago, and like literally deathly ill, and was laying on her couch, and the Holy Spirit told her to pray that song. And every time she would hear dead things come alive, she would, to the best of her ability, scream it out. Two days, and Jesus healed her. The doctors were like, you're going to die. She's like, no, I'm not, in the name of Jesus. Anyway, I'm also excited to be here because we were just at a Southern Baptist church last week, and I'm not allowed to be a pastor there. So super cool and thankful to be back at a Foursquare church where we honor women as leaders. And also, I don't have to cover up my tattoos. So that's really cool as well. Yes, I'm Abby Edwards. My husband, Matt, our daughter is Kylie. Raise your hand. That's number one. Number two, Madeline. Raise your hand. Yeah, that was hard for her. Number three, Audrey. Raise your hand. We live in Linz, Austria, which is an amazing, beautiful place. Not quite in the Alps, but we can see the Alps. And I mean, the hills are indeed alive with the sound of music. I'm not singing it. I won't sing it. In Austria. But it's amazing. And so when God sent us in 2018 to Austria, we went with a short-term ministry plan and a long-term ministry plan, as every good missionary goes with a short and long-term plan. Like, it's just the way it works. And so short-term, we were planted into a Foursquare church in Linz called Cornerstone Gemeinde. It means community. Church means community there. So Cornerstone Gemeinde in Linz, with the job of planting children's ministries. And the goal was always to hand off children's ministry. So within about 6 months, our pastors gave us a gracious year to not die on the field and just get used to life and ministry in Austria. We took about 6 months of that. You can go to the next slide. And planted kids' ministries there. And so that has been a huge blessing to us. We've been working, building kids' ministries through COVID, which was rough, but then after COVID really took off, and God gave us a vision not just for a normal kids ministry, but for a discipleship program for our young people. So we started discipling our kids in the various ministries within our church, and I am proud to say that as of July 2025, I have handed children's ministry off to an Austrian, which was always the goal. The goal was always to build something and make it sustainable that we could hand off to the next leader, and we did that this past month, which means that I get to graduate from kids ministry to adult ministry, and that's super exciting. We also work within an Iranian church, which has been a huge blessing to us. We had told the Holy Spirit before we deployed, like, we'll go anywhere, but just don't send us to the Middle East. And so when he sent us to Linz and planted us in an Austrian church, there was an Iranian church that was also sharing our space, and I went to yell at them one day because they were breaking my kids' toys. And the pastor said, "Don't yell at it," or the Holy Spirit said, "Don't yell at them. Ask them how you can help." And so I asked how I could help, and they were like, "Would you lead our children's ministry?" And I was like, "You don't even know me, but okay, sure." And so I stayed that first day, sobbing in the back, watching women from a culture where they don't have any rights, right, stand up and praise God and proclaim Jesus in Farsi, a language that it's not legal to praise Jesus in. And so we're still there, but I'm praying. 7 years. We've been there almost seven years in that church. Seven is the number of completion, right? I'm praying that we can hand off children's ministry in that church this year as well. We also have a Serve the City ministry. Kids ministry just doesn't take 40 hours a week. And I was bored at home. And Matt was bored at home. And we said, there's lots of needs we see in our community. How can we help? And so we started to Serve the City ministry, which has morphed into working with a lot of refugees. So Iranians, but also Ukrainians. When the war started, we started welcoming Ukrainians and helping them find affordable housing, teaching them German, helping them get integrated into the community. So registering their kids in schools, but also getting all of their legal paperwork, because that's one thing we know how to do very well, is navigate the bureaucracy, which is the bureaucratic game in Austria is strong. And we know how to do that. So we did that. We've also done blessing baskets for families in need. We do homeless ministry. And we also do a Thanksgiving outreach for all of our refugee friends every year. So I had never done Thanksgiving dinner before we deployed. And now I'm cooking dinner for like 60 people at a time, which is... Lord, that's a task. What's next on the list? I don't even remember what order I put it in. Ukraine. When we were ready to deploy, we actually really wanted to go to Ukraine. Matt and I had been in Ukraine in 2002 with Campus Crusade, and we really wanted to go back, and the Holy Spirit told us no, which was devastating. It broke our hearts. But when the war started, and we started welcoming refugees, we were like, oh, Jesus, thank you. Like, you gave us this desire to be with Ukrainians, and now you fulfilled our heart's desires. Guys, that's morphed. We have taken, I don't even at this point know how many trips over the border to the front lines, delivering food, medicine, sanitary items to people in communities on the front line who are without electricity and water and have been for 3+ years. But we also have gotten to take things to soldiers. Matt has pictures if you want to see them, him standing on tanks and, you know, with the drone hunters and their massive guns. You can see those later. but he has all the good stories. But we've also gotten the chance to work more closely now with Foursquare Ukraine, which has been a huge blessing. And in fact, this past April, I was with Jeff Roper, our boss, who's also the leader of Foursquare Ukraine, and he asked us if we would be willing to coach emerging leaders and youth leaders as they plant ministries in their cities across Ukraine. So that will be long-term ministry in Ukraine. And we also, our long-term ministry plan, now we're moving to the long-term ministry, right? Long-term ministry plan was the establishment of a Center for Spiritual Renewal in Central Europe, like Pastor Lisa was talking about, a place where leaders and pastors can go and can be poured into and renewed to go back out into their context and make disciples, something that we'll never do in, I don't know, Spain, Portugal, England, but that they can do very well. And so it's our privilege to walk alongside leaders. About 2 years ago, the Holy Spirit told Matt and me that we would take Goshen into Ukraine. And we were like, okay, sounds interesting, we'll see. And in April, again, Jeff Roper asked Matt and me if we would be willing to develop an inner healing ministry, which we're already doing in Goshen, and I get to talk about today, but develop a tool combining inner healing and trauma therapy to take into Ukraine so that we can use them on our faith communities in the Foursquare churches in Ukraine, but also train leaders how to use it without being therapists, because there will never be enough therapists that come into Ukraine to deal with the trauma that's left by the war when it's over. And so we want to equip our leaders to be able to use those tools and really make an impact and bring healing in their cities after the war is over. So that is our long, I think that was all of our ministry, right? Did I miss anything? Okay, I'm good. He says you're good. All right. So as we're transitioning into this long-term ministry of inner healing and walking alongside leaders, a massive part of what we do is inner healing ministry. And I know that sounds like voodoo, it sounds like voodoo-y. It's not. It's not scary. The Holy Spirit knows us more intimately than you or I could ever know one another, right? I can go to a therapist, and a therapist can make their best guesses about what's wrong with me. but the Holy Spirit actually knows, right? And so it is our privilege in inner healing ministry to walk alongside, come alongside the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in somebody and usher that person into the presence of God for the Holy Spirit to do his ministering work on the inside of them. So don't be worried when I say inner healing. It's not creepy. But so let's back up. When we talk about inner healing, what is it and why? And we have to really address what is God's plan for us as his children. And I think we could all very easily say that, right? His plan for us is salvation, sanctification, fullness of life in relationship with him, right? And we all know what salvation is, right? It's instant. The second that we make a profession of faith, we're saved, right? And sanctification, however, sanctification and fullness of Christ are processes that we go on, right? We're saved immediately, but we are sanctified and we are filled with the fullness of Christ through our entire life, right? We never arrive. As much as I would like to believe that I am, you know, perfect, I'm not, right? And I never will be, and I will always be in process with the Holy Spirit. And so inner healing comes in that space of sanctification and fullness of Christ as we are attaining fullness of Christ. It's a process that works within that space, right? So as we are becoming fuller of Christ every day, becoming a little more full in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit goes with us through this process and uncovers things in our lives that don't benefit us and don't glorify God, right? And realistically, we should be willing to let those things go. And sometimes we are, and sometimes we aren't. But the Holy Spirit's goal for us is that we let go of those things and we walk more fully in relationship with Jesus and in the freedom that he offers, okay? And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background. I've been doing inner healing ministry for the past, I think, 6.5 years at this point at our church. We have a really well-established inner healing ministry within the German-speaking world. People come from Switzerland. I almost said the German word. That doesn't help you. From Switzerland, and they come from Germany. Some come from other countries if they can speak German, but it's a predominantly German-speaking ministry. So for the German-speaking world, it's fairly well known. And they're coming because they've identified dysfunction in their life and they want healing from it, right? So that could look like mental illness. It could look like problems in relationship. It could look like anxiety or depression. And they want healing from those things. And so I've been a part of that ministry for over 6 years. And as we've launched Goshen Ministries, which is our Center for Spiritual Renewal, back in the beginning of 2024, and we started praying about what does God want to do with this ministry, we started getting requests from different countries to come and do training, so to teach them how to use inner healing tools and use this ministry in their own countries. And so the Holy Spirit at the beginning of 2025 started challenging me and what I understand about inner healing ministry, right? And so I had been asking the Holy Spirit, like, what should I do this year for my quiet time? And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go to the book of Ephesians and I want you to read every day until I tell you to stop. And I was like, oh, okay, I can do that. And some days it would be like 2 or 3 chapters and some days it would be like 2 or 3 verses. But the Holy Spirit started showing me some things about inner healing and this ministry path that he has us on and really what he wants to do through this ministry. And it was impactful to me. So Paul talks a lot in Ephesians about fullness in Christ, right? I'm gonna butcher the word. The Greek word is pleroma. Pleroma? I don't know. Anyway, so he uses it several times in chapter 1, verse 23, chapter 3, verse 19, and chapter 4, verse 13. And so I'm not going to read them all. So here's the long and the short of it. When we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, we inherited his desire for us to live in fullness with him. So as he is, in fullness, as he is, having adopted his character fully within us. Okay? And we as the church exemplify this fullness through Christ, right? So in a perfect world, as a healthy congregation, we exemplify what it looks like to have fullness in Christ as he is. The process of attaining fullness of Christ is also a process of maturing in Christ, right? So we're incapable of being full of Christ when we're not mature, right? But as we mature, we become more full of Jesus Christ. And we can't do it on our own, right? So the Holy Spirit has to accompany us on this journey. And I think we all have really good intentions, right? I have really good intentions for spending time with the Lord and allowing him to do something in me, but things get in the way, right? Like, so it maybe it's a choice of mine, right? Like, I didn't sleep well last night, and so I'm not gonna spend time with Jesus this morning. Or, I worked so many hours today. Whatever. Or I'd rather spend time with friends. Or sometimes things get in the way that we don't have anything to do with, right? So people have treated us badly, our leaders have treated us badly, and we choose not to take a step forward with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. But we have really great intentions. And I think we would all say that we want to adopt God's character, right? Like my heart is that when I walk into a community or when I go and I hang out with my Ukrainian or Iranian friends, that they immediately see Jesus in me, right? That's my desire. My desire is that I'm so full of Jesus that when I walk into a room that I exude his character, right? That I exude his love, that what the people see is not my own effort, but him through me. That's my desire. But things hold us back, like I said. And so what do we need to move forward? Because really that's the crux of this. Inner healing, above all, is a process of surrender. We have to surrender daily to Jesus Christ and his lordship in our lives to become more full of him, to become more like him. And so what does the Bible say about surrender? I'm not reading all these verses. There's going to be a ton of them. Just take a picture, okay? I heard that you guys are good at taking pictures of the screen, so do it. So what does the Bible say about surrender? Surrender is a posture of submission to Christ. James 4:7, Luke 22:42. It's sacrificial. I sacrifice something of myself when I surrender to Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, Romans 12:1. It's a denial of self. When I surrender to Jesus, I'm denying myself to adopt his character. It's a natural part of pursuing righteousness. It brings us to a place of rest. If we're constantly fighting and not surrendering, we're never going to rest. It's an acknowledgement of God and who he is. It's transformational. When I surrender, the Holy Spirit uses that, and he transforms us from the inside. It's an act of trust. That's, I think, the hardest for me. When I surrender to Jesus, I have to trust him that he knows better. and I have really great ideas, so that's hard. It's a gracious act. God allows us. He gives us the gift of surrender. It's a renouncement of ourselves. Again, yeah, I have to renounce myself in my own ways to surrender to Jesus. It's humbling. We have to humble ourselves to surrender. And it's ushered in through prayer, and it allows us to adopt godly character. And so God desires that we live in fullness in relationship with him. But we can't live in fullness of relationship with him if we are full of the holes left by trauma, hurt, lies, or sin. It's just the reality. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to heal us from. And that's the focus of our inner healing ministry. And so we focus in inner healing ministry. You can go to the next slide. On the entire person. And so we think of a person as a tree, right? So think of yourselves like a tree. We all have deep roots, roots that go down pretty deep. Some of them are shallower, right? But we all have roots and we all bear fruit, right? And some of our roots are really good and they're really healthy and they help us and they bring us closer to Jesus and they bear good fruit in our lives, right? The fruit of the Spirit. We all know them, right? But some of us, all of us have bad roots as well, right? So coexisting good and bad roots. And those bad roots bear bad fruit in our lives. And that can look like anxiety, depression, problems in relationship, issues submitting to authority, fear. There's a whole list. And so the Holy Spirit wants to dig those bad roots out of us so that they stop producing bad fruit in our lives. Okay? Tracking with me? Yes. Okay, good. So you are a tree, you have good and bad roots, and you bear good and bad fruit. The Holy Spirit wants to leave the good roots and the good fruit, and he wants to take out the bad roots and the bad fruit, right? Okay, and so we reap what we sow. That's the bitter root. We reap what we have sown, and sometimes things can be sown into us because of our own decisions, because there's my boundary line, don't go past the rug. Sometimes we open the door to bad roots in our lives through sin or poor decisions or drugs or whatever else, right? And the enemy, here's the deal. Wait, let me preface this by saying the enemy will use whatever he can against you. Whatever he can, right? We're not talking about people's intentions as they sow bad things into us. The enemy will use literally whatever he can against you, okay? So just so we're all clear. And so we can bear bad roots in our lives because of things that we've sown into us, but we can also have bad roots in our lives because of things that other people have sown into us. Yes, horrible things like trauma or abuse will absolutely result in a bad root in your life. But sometimes things that people do unintentionally can yield bad roots in our lives. And so those things take hold when we don't, whether it be because we don't know that they exist, or because we just choose not to deal with it, those things will take root in our lives and they begin to grow and they bear bad fruit in our lives. And so I'm gonna give you an example of what that looks like, because I think that sounds really weird and people are like, oh, I don't understand. So we get clients with all kinds of issues. And this one particular client came into us because they were having issues with jealousy at work. Totally normal, right? Who has felt jealous before in their lives? I mean, like, me a ton of times, right? So he came into a session and he said, I want to deal with something that's very like present in my life right now. I'm feeling jealous at work. I have this one coworker and they're younger than me and they came in and I just feel like I'm like so anxious and jealous constantly because I just feel like they're like going to get all the credit. Like they do the same job as me. I have laid this foundation for years. And they're going to come in and all of a sudden they're going to get all the credit for everything that I've done because they get to stand on my shoulders and be more successful. And that's real and relevant, right? Like, I think probably we've all experienced that to some degree in some way, shape, or form, right? Totally normal, not an intentional hurt, right? But the enemy used it. And so we started praying with him and we said, okay, ask the Holy Spirit what that root is, where the root of that jealousy comes from, because it's never the situation that causes the distress. It's never the situation that causes the distress. And so he started praying and he felt like the Holy Spirit gave him a picture of him as a small toddler the day that his parents brought his younger sibling home from the hospital. And the Holy Spirit said to him, even though it was unintentional, because listen, I'm the oldest sibling and I have three children, right? Like Kylie probably, I don't know if she felt this way, when, you know, and I don't remember feeling that way, but the day that they brought his younger sibling home from the hospital, completely unintentional. They didn't say, hey, I almost said tschüss, that means bye in German. See you later, you've been replaced. No parent would do that, right? They didn't do that. But in the moment, he felt replaced. He felt as though, yeah, his status was gone simply because someone new came on the scene. A completely normal situation, but the enemy had caused something to grow. Something was allowed to grow in his life that as an adult then bore bad fruit. And he was upset about this situation in his workplace, right? And the Holy Spirit showed him, this is the root of it. And so he went through this process. We have our clients hold people accountable. Whether or not they intended to hurt us or not, we have them hold the person accountable. This is how you hurt me. This is what you did. These were my feelings. This is what I needed from you before the Holy Spirit. Hold that person accountable. The goal is always forgiveness, right? Forgiveness is what does the healing part of it in us. Not the actual, like, you were a horrible mom, you blah, 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 blah. That doesn't do anything. It's, and I bring that to the cross of Jesus. I nail it there. I give up my right to retribution and feeling angry about this in the future. In the name of Jesus, I forgive you. That's where the healing work happens. And so he held his parents accountable. He nailed that sucker to the cross. He spoke forgiveness. And then the Holy Spirit revealed a lie that he'd believed his entire life, which was, you're easily replaceable. So even though his parents never intended it, he felt replaced, and he had believed his entire life, I am so easily replaceable. Like, it doesn't matter in any scenario. And as he nailed that to the cross and spoke forgiveness, the Holy Spirit spoke his truth over him, which was, you are my dearly beloved son. No one could ever take your place. Such a simple truth, but something that he needed to hear. Okay? And so that brought healing. Trauma can also, and undoubtedly does, also cause bad roots to grow in our lives. We see that in so many clients, whether or not there's abuse or they have history with a war or whatever, trauma breeds dysfunction in our lives if it's left untreated and left undealt with, right? And actually a really interesting fact. See, I love it when like the Bible and psychology like back each other up. And so psychology says, there's this whole study, and this is my background. My background is mental health counseling, so I kind of geek out with this kind of stuff. But there is this study called epigenetics, a really long word for something that means your body's DNA or your DNA expression changes when you're traumatized. So because of hormones and, you know, everything running through your body, your genetic expression changes, and you can pass down those changes to your offspring. Meaning, and psychology has shown this, that future generations, so what a grandma might experience, her grandchild could experience. So like fear surrounding a certain situation. One of our good friends, after the war, World War II, little known war in Europe, Austria was occupied just like Germany was. And so our city is divided by the Danube River, and to the north, the Soviets occupied it, and they were horrific to the people there. And south, the Americans occupied, and they were really, really good to the people there. Okay, and so our good friend, Madeleine, her grandmother lived to the north of the river and was raped multiple times by Soviet soldiers. And so Madeleine, not knowing that, every time she would go into this neighborhood, it's called Urfar, she would go into Urfar and she would feel anxiety, like major anxiety, like get me out of here anxiety. Like I don't want to be here, it's disgusting, get me back across the river. And she went to her mom, who's our pastor, and said, I don't know what this is. Like I have no idea why I have this reaction every time I go into Urfar. And her mom said, did you know that your grandma was raped by the Soviets? And the Holy Spirit, they started praying about it, and that was indeed the root of her anxiety, was that her grandma experienced something that had been handed down through generations. And the Bible backs that up, right? Because it says blessings follow us to the 100th generation and curses to the 3rd and 4th. Things that we experience, if we don't deal with them, can be handed down to future generations. So it's important that we deal with those things, right? And so we all have trauma in our lives. Some of us have really horrible trauma that would lead to things called like PTSD. Others of us have normal trauma in our lives, right? A car accident or abusive leadership, I would call a normal trauma. It's certainly not rape or war, right? What'd you say? It is terrible. It is terrible. But those things, if we don't deal with them, will lead undoubtedly to dysfunction in our life, right? Problems with relationships, problems with authority, fear, anxiety. And the enemy wants those things to be prevalent in our lives. The Holy Spirit does not. Okay? And the other thing that we're always looking for in inner healing ministry are life lies. So like I told you with the first client, this lie that was so prevalent in his life of you're easily replaceable, something he believed his whole life, that has no place in our lives, right? Because that's not even remotely biblical. It's not what Jesus has for us. And so when we allow bitter roots to grow in our lives, it yields bad fruit in the form of lies that we believe. Those can look like anything, right? I don't have blah, blah, blah because blah, blah, blah. Or I was raped or I was abused by my father, so no man can ever love me. Bull. right? I mean, we believe those things easily, but that's not what Jesus intends for us. Okay, and so we are constantly looking for lies that the enemy has tricked us into believing because the Holy Spirit wants to set us free from those things. And so I'm going to give you guys another wacky example. Generally, when we do inner healing ministry, we start with a trauma prayer that we pray, and then we move into the generational stuff because, like I said, curses follow us. And then we move into the 9 months of pregnancy, and then we go through the client's entire life in chunks up to the point of the age where they are right now. And sometimes that takes a really long time, and sometimes it's really fast. We have a 21-year-old client right now, and it went really fast because she's young. And so inevitably, during the 9 months of pregnancy, because we live in a fallen world, we, as unborn children, learn through the circumstances around us to take our eyes off Jesus. In a perfect world, right, without sin, that would never happen. But because we live in a fallen world, it does happen. So we were working with a client one time, and she came in, and we were doing the pregnancy stuff, and she had already told us, listen, like, I have struggled with sexual identity my entire life. Like, I'm a woman, but I think I was born in the wrong body. Like, I think I might be a man trapped in a woman's body. And we, you know, clearly were like, no, that's a lie. Like, that's clearly not true. And so we were going through the 9 months of pregnancy, and the Holy Spirit, in like the 5th month of pregnancy, showed this client a picture of her father, like bent over her mother's stomach, stroking it, talking to his son. My sweet baby boy, I love you so much. I'm so happy. I'm so excited to meet you, my baby boy. We're gonna play soccer together. And you know, all the normal things that we as parents like dream of when we're getting ready to have children, right? We all speculate what's in there, like before we know, we all do. But this father unknowingly had spoken false identity over his daughter. And the enemy, because he knows how he can trip us up, right? The enemy used that her entire life to cause confusion. And so her entire life, she believed, I think I was born in the wrong body. I think I'm actually a boy. And so when she went back and asked her parents about it, her mom was like, yeah, that was true. We totally thought you were a boy. Like that played out multiple times. And so this lie of you were born in the wrong body, you're not actually what God created you to be, was so prevalent in her life. So she went through the process, she held her parents accountable, like the first client did, spoke forgiveness, and then the Holy Spirit replaced the lie of you were born in the wrong body with you're my dearly beloved daughter and nothing about you is a mistake, right? And so the Holy Spirit wants to bring healing to us. And he's good and he's gracious and he's kind. And so he accompanies us on this journey as we're seeking the Holy Spirit, as we're allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and invade our lives, right? And sanctify us and fill us with him and bring us closer to likeness with Christ. The Holy Spirit comes along with us on that journey and very gently uncovers things and shows the things that he wants to change, the false patterns of belief. And he changes us from the inside out so that those bad roots no longer are allowed to grow. We cut those things off in the name of Jesus and that fruit dies on the tree. That dysfunction in our life dies on the tree. And so inner healing is a tool for propelling us forward to attain fullness in Christ. And so really quickly, I want to read Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Where is it? There it is. This is a very small writing in this Bible. I didn't bring my normal Bible with me because it's huge and it weighs too much, but man, I'm getting old. So 16 through 19. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Strengthened in power. We're not powerful if we're hurt and confused, right? Rooted and established in love. We can't be established in love if our actions and instincts are born out of hurt and fear, and we can't forgive. To grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ for us. God sees the big picture in all of us, even the things that we're not aware of, right? So the things that were done to us or against us that we're not even aware of, the Holy Spirit sees how it affects us. And he sees the end from the beginning. And so allowing him access to those areas in order to heal us allows us to see more fully his grace and love in our lives. That we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There is no room for the love of Jesus in our lives when we are full of ourselves, right? Or our own past, or our own hurt, or our own demons, right? Our job in all of this is, like I said at the beginning, to submit, right? To give the Holy Spirit access, because when we do, he brings freedom and healing and cleanses those areas out, and it puts us in a position to receive what God has for us, which is his fullness. And so God has already given us all the tools that we need to be emotionally healthy because he's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is his deposit in our lives. And our inner condition, it's a priority. Like how you feel and your insecurities and your fear and your anxiety, those are priorities to Jesus. He doesn't want that for you. That is not his intention for you. And so we need to make space for the Holy Spirit and for Christ to dwell more fully in us so that our faith can grow and so that we can reflect him to a lost and dying world. Amen? Okay, so I told Pastor Lisa we were going to do this. We're going to get practical. I'm going to walk you guys through, because here's the deal. I have a feeling that there are probably people here that while I was talking, you started thinking, are there lies that I believe in my life? Like I would pretty much guarantee that at least one person was thinking, I think I've believed that my entire life. I've had this insecurity my entire life, and I wonder if it's actually a bad root. What's the source of that? I guarantee you somebody was thinking that. So we're going to do this together, and I'm going to show you how easy it can be to begin moving forward in this process of healing. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to uncover one lie in your life. One lie. We're not going to go big and go, we're not going big or going home. We're asking for one lie, one little lie, okay? We're going to ask him to show what the root of that lie is. And then we're going to ask him to replace that lie with his truth. Okay? It's easy. Don't be scared. When my little brother was little, he didn't say scared. He said scared. So we always say that in our family. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. It's super easy. So I'm going to pray. And if the Holy Spirit shows you something, ask the Holy Spirit exactly where that comes from. Okay? And I'm going to guide you through this in prayer. All right? Don't be scared. Everybody close your eyes, because we don't care what our neighbors are doing, right? But don't fall asleep. Okay, so Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're a good God. I thank you that you go along with us in this process. I thank you that your desire for us is wellness and fullness and closeness to you, Father God. And I thank you that you are intimately concerned with each of our inner conditions, Father God, with our emotions, with our feelings, with our insecurities, Father God, that those are priorities to you, Father God. And so I ask right now that you would just begin showing people, Father, a lie that they've believed in their life, something that has caused dysfunction, Father God. So one lie, Father, just show each person one lie that they've believed. Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would show us what the roots of those lies are. Father God, what's the source of that belief, that negative belief, that lie that we've had in our lives? Father God, show us what the source of that is, Jesus. Okay, now in your own words, just ask the Holy Spirit to replace the lie that you've believed. Ask him to replace that with his truth, to show you what he believes about you. Father God, what is the truth that you are singing over each person in this room, Father God? Speak to their hearts and their minds, Father God, and show them what you believe about them, Father God. I would encourage you, if the Holy Spirit shows you something, write it down, because we know that the enemy seeks constantly what he can devour, and he would love nothing more than to take truth away from you. So if the Holy Spirit has spoken truth to your heart that counters a lie that you've believed, write it down and put it somewhere where you can see it, because the enemy will try to take that land back, and we don't want that, right? God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you that you walk with us through the valleys in our lives, and that you go with us to the high places as well, Father God. I thank you that there's nowhere that we can run, that we are away from your Spirit, God. I thank you that you desire friendship with us and closeness with us, Father God. I thank you that you desire good things for us in our lives. I ask that you would bless each person here, Father God, as they go home. I ask that you would continue speaking truth to the lies of the enemy in their life, Father God, that they would take a step forward today in attaining fullness in you, Father God, that they would learn what surrender looks like a little bit more, and that they would walk in your truth, in your love, in your peace, Father God, knowing that you are a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and you go with them through each and everything. Father, I speak life and healing and peace and fullness into each of you in the name of Jesus. Be full of Jesus Christ as you go home today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.